Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Northumberland County and the Canadian Mental Health Association announced a groundbreaking partnership to provide supportive housing in Campbellford. This is a huge step forward in helping people who face challenges with mental health and addictions. These are people who often find themselves on the street and homeless. As you will learn in this interview, supportive housing provides an environment that helps people who would otherwise struggle when seeking a stable home. The tenants will live in a 5-bedroom house with a worker present to assist them in their journey to recovery. While there are several supportive housing projects in Northumberland, this is the first outside of Cobourg and Port Hope. It is also the first time the County's Housing Corporation has partnered with the Mental Health Association. It is a piece in the puzzle when it comes to dealing with homelessness, mental health, and addictions. It is my pleasure today to have with me Rebecca Carman, Manager of Housing Services for Northumberland County, and Jennifer Bain, Manager of Supportive Housing for the Canadian Mental Health Association, Halliburton, Kawartha, Pine Ridge. Welcome to you both to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you for having us.
Housing is a huge concern right now. Northumberland County and the Canadian Mental Health Association have announced a partnership to provide more affordable housing, but it is not your typical project. It deals with something called supportive housing. For listeners who might not know, what is supportive housing? I'll give you both a chance to answer that. Rebecca, I'll start with you.
Sure. So, I mean, I think from a supportive housing standpoint, Jen's definitely the expert. But when we look at what we mean by supportive housing, we're referring to a combination of affordable housing and support services that are designed to help people thrive, achieve independence, and keep their housing secure.
Jennifer, how would you describe it?
Yeah, so I think it is a broad range of services that includes like activities of daily living, recreational supports, helping folks connect with their community, and really ensuring that people can sustain permanent housing, which can be a difficult challenge depending on your housing experience or your community or stigma attached. So really, we try to focus on, you know, those people being connected to supports that are longstanding.
But it's very different from other types of housing that we might have, where it's really about income and cost versus, I think, the people that you're trying to help. Jennifer, could you help us better understand the kinds of people who qualify for this kind of supportive housing? Because it's not just the regular housing stock being given to people in need.
Right. So clearly we are a mental health agency, and so we focus on supporting folks who have different challenges in their particular journey of recovery. And so we try to give opportunities for folks in the best circumstances that we can, which is a supportive housing model, which also does include a financial support too. So we do provide a subsidy for folks so that they can afford housing, and then of course focusing on individual treatment plans that help people be the most successful.
In my research, the terms I kept coming up with are mental health and addiction. These are people with mental health issues or addiction issues or a combination thereof that were providing the services that you just described. Am I correct in that?
So I would say that it is a various population of folks, not necessarily challenged with both. We are also looking at folks with a moderate acuity, so some, you know, kind of in the medium function of their recovery, so that they are a good mix to live together, because this is a congregate setting, and we have a very thorough process for how we select people so that it is safe and respectful and so that they can live together.
Can you help us better understand a bit about that standard or common assessment of needs? What are some of the things that you look for when you're trying to assess an individual if they're suitable for living in a supportive housing situation?
Yeah, so we do look at folks who have common goals. So they, you know, want to learn different skills in different areas. We have a very strenuous selection process to ensure that folks are selected well, because we want to, you know, ensure that they're going to be good neighbors, that they are going to be good to each other, that they're going to respect the premises that they're living on. And so we try, we have a very formal platform of how we select folks, so that with that includes an interview, which is more of actually a conversation similar to today. We really like to actually just get to know folks rather than, you know, putting them on the spot, because obviously, you know, there is a lot of need for supportive housing, and folks, you know, want to be able to have this opportunity. So, you know, we've been doing supportive housing at CMHA for about 20 years, and we have certainly learned lessons on what works and what doesn't work. And we feel that we are at a point now that are expanding our services to this area, which is sort of rural for us, is this is the time that we can do that, because we have kind of figured it out.
Rebecca, is this the first time we've had a supportive housing unit in Northumberland County, or are there ones that exist already?
Yeah, so there are supportive housing units that exist in Northumberland, but most supportive housing services report directly to the provincial government. So the county, we don't track supportive housing units or the services that are offered. So I'm sure Jen could speak to some of the other services that are in place right now in Northumberland. This is the first NCHC or Northumberland County Housing Corporation owned building that will be dedicated to supportive housing.
Now, is there any difference between this type of housing that you're providing and other forms of housing that you provide? Is there something that is distinct between them, or is it just another housing unit for the county?
So there are some distinct pieces of it for sure. I mean, one of them I think that Jen alluded to was that it is a shared living scenario. So it is a 5-bedroom house. So there will be a shared kitchen, shared washrooms. It's not a detached unit. The other way this works is that the Northumberland County Housing Corporation works with the Canadian Mental Health Association, Kawartha Pine Ridge, and we actually enter into a lease agreement with us and the agency. So we don't have tenant agreements with each of the people in the home. And so it's not, from our perspective, it's not a direct rent year to income calculation, and it doesn't house off of our wait list. We're prioritizing folks for this house that meet the mandate of the service provided, and that are within our by name list on the homelessness side of the spectrum.
So this agreement between the county and the mental health people is unique, and that's what makes this rather different than other supportive housing that exists in Northumberland County. Am I understanding that correctly?
It's definitely the first time that the county and NCHC have worked with CMHA in this way, but I'm not sure that it's, maybe Jen, can you speak to some of the others? I know that this is not a first time model. It's definitely a tried and true model for other types of supports in the region. I do believe that it exists elsewhere.
Jennifer, would you help us out with that?
Sure. So we actually have about, I would say, in between 24 to 30 supportive housing units in the Coeur, Port Hope area. We don't actually, this is our first in Camelford, but like I said, it is a more rural area, and we want to ensure that we can provide the appropriate support for the program to be successful. This is certainly a unique situation for us to be you know, as we know, there is a housing crisis, and for the county to come to us and say, hey, would you like to do this? Of course, we are excited about receiving stock. And they're also excited about being able to receive support, which actually did not, this is just a very creative way for us to make use of what we have. Like, we were not provided with extra operational dollars for this project. We are just pulling from our current resources because obviously we want to address the concerns of the community and provide more housing in any way that we can. And so that is why we took this approach at this point.
Both of you have alluded to the financial arrangement, so maybe this is a good time to talk a bit about that. So how does that all work?
So from a beginning perspective, we have used the Social Services Relief Fund allocation that was from the provincial government. So we are very grateful that we've had this opportunity to create this program. These are the things we can do, and when we have lots of partners at the table. So we will continue to speak with the province and other partners to expand this type of model. But what we've done is we have allocated, it's just over $1 million, and that would cover the purchase of the property as well as the necessary repairs and renovations. This building prior to this project was a former bed and breakfast. So now that we have some supportive housing services in it, there were various health and safety requirements that had to be, improvements that had to be made, overall system improvements. We've also converted a bedroom on the ground floor to be fully wheelchair accessible with an accessible washroom. So we've put some investments into making this space what we need it to be for that. So we've done that with SSRF funding. Moving forward, we are still working with CMHA to navigate and negotiate some of those final pieces. But the idea is that with the rent costs that we will be charging, we will be able to build a long-term capital reserve for this building, and we'll be able to then be able to continue repairing anything else that needs to be done. So it is our hope that it is our plan that this building is cost neutral for the county and the levy over the long term.
So what was the upfront investment then into purchase and to renovate?
It was, I believe, $1,084,000.
Rebecca, where does this fit into the housing strategy for the county?
Sure. So, I mean, we have a few different strategies within the affordable housing strategy. When we looked at what we needed overall from a systems perspective, we knew we needed housing really at all levels, but the key focus was for the low income earners. So in the first and second income decile, which we knew for us to achieve that would require things like rent supplement, would require things like the NCHC to build more rent geared to income units. We knew that at that level of affordability, those are things that the private sector is not equipped to take on. What we also have within the affordable housing strategy and in our 10-year housing and homelessness plan, the recommendation to look more at support services and what types of supports are needed for various households in order to stay housed. Within Northumberland County, we do have a housing retention framework. So that is our goal, is to keep people housed. The NCHC operates from an eviction prevention protocol where we do everything we can to avoid those evictions. So those are some of the things that when we look at our strategies, this is where it fits in. We also know that for many of the folks within Northumberland County who are on the by name list, there is a need for more than just affordable rent. There is need for this type of supports or other types of supports with agencies like CMHA.
Jennifer, do you have any sense of, you know, five units? This is amazing, but how many people, how big a need is there in the county for this kind of service?
Yeah, I think the reality is that if I look at an overall systematic, you know, overview, the reality is that we need more stock, and the housing crisis will continue as long as that is a need. So I don't think it is necessarily a matter of how many folks, but it's like how many opportunities can we provide to people by building purpose-built buildings by you know, looking at assessing what people's needs are and then putting them in appropriate housing versus just putting them in any kind of unit. So in my opinion, it is minimally five people, and folks will be able to move on if they feel that independence is a goal of theirs and that is part of it. And again, this is a long-standing relationship that we are entering into. And I think it is because we all have very, very common goals and the same values around housing folks. And that will make for a successful program because we also have an eviction prevention approach. We also care about people being permanently housed. We care about the systems, the community. And so I think that is why it will be very successful, is because we will walk through that continuum of housing with these folks together.
It's interesting because in 2017, the Addictions Mental Health Ontario released a report. And at that time, they said that there was a need for a minimum of 30,000 additional supportive housing units to meet the required needs over the next decade. And we're already halfway through that timeline. Are we starting to get a foothold or a toehold, at least on this issue, to be able to provide the need for the people who could most benefit by this kind of program?
I can speak to it from our end. I'm sure that number's not wrong. I think there is probably always going to be a need. I do think the impact of COVID really highlighted the homelessness crisis along with the opiate crisis. And I think that is why it is being so focused on. And I think we haven't received a lot of funding historically until the past year or two. There was some COVID relief funding for supportive housing. There was other, you know, some sort of acknowledgements from our ministries and from the province that this is a huge issue. So do I think it's always been there? Yes, I do. Do I think it's something that we are noticing and now trying to work together to, you know, come to resolution? Absolutely. Do I think it's going to be done in the next 5 years? I think that's ambitious, but I think we all care about trying to approach it from the same way.
Jennifer, can this program provide supports beyond the housing and providing ongoing programs that allow people not to necessarily live in this particular residence, but to live on their own, but still receive the benefit from your service?
We have a retention model as well. So as long as someone is connected to supportive housing with CMHA, they will always have a support person attached to them. Like I had said earlier, we know that recovery is its own journey. And sometimes there are periods where you require a bit more support than other times. So we always do have a worker attached. And then we also have opportunities for, you know, employment supports. We have opportunities for recreation support. So it's not, you know, it's kind of like not a one shoe fits all. It's like everyone gets what everyone needs because that is equitable service. And but the subsidy would follow them as well as the supports would follow them. So we have no intention of ever discharging anyone to homelessness. We would continue with their housing journey.
Going forward then, we now have this building, it's ready to go. Who would like to tell me what happens next? When do people start moving in? Where do we go from here?
So maybe I could probably speak to that because that's more the program side. So we, you know, the county has provided us with this beautiful property. So now we have a few finishing touches around IT support. And we really want to ensure that the home is set up to look like a home. So we want to provide, you know, some extra furniture and some personal touches. And so we are in that stage. We do anticipate that there will be someone residing there mid-July is what our hopes are. We did do like a very lovely community walk around the neighborhood and spoke to all the neighbors, and that was very well received. So we're hoping that is also, now that we have completed sort of that part of our process, we're ready to do the programming and we're ready to do the work.
Going forward, how do you see this supportive housing model helping to address long-term the ongoing crisis that we have around homelessness and finding spaces and moving people out of that homeless state into the type of housing like this, how do we make that path? Can you describe that path and how going forward, how that might work?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of different things that we're looking at. So we are constantly looking at expanding and adapting our programs where we have the latitude to do so. So for example, most of the housing that is currently in stock falls under the Housing Services Act. So it's legislated by the provincial government in how we house, how we select people. So that housing stock is not really suitable for this type of purposeful partnership. So as the NCHC grows, we will be looking at operating more from a viability perspective for each built. So we will be incorporating market rent units, affordable rent units, and rent geared to income units. So as we bring online more market rent, more affordable rent, it will open up the opportunity for us to seek these types of partnerships within these units to provide stock. One thing we hear is that it is very challenging for some of the programs when they come through without a physical space. And I think Jenna talked a little bit about that it's unaffordable for both the service provider and the tenant. And it's also challenging sometimes for a private landlord to be able to navigate that relationship and what that might look like. So it is our goal as the NCHC that we can come to the table in providing reasonably priced rental units to use for this programming. And we can be a landlord with a compassionate, social-minded eviction prevention protocols set in place that will match nicely with these types of programming. We're also looking at some of our housing support programs. So those are our rental subsidies. So households can apply to us for monthly rental subsidies for various pieces. And we are beginning to work with our homelessness counterparts in our department to navigate where and how we can prioritize folks experiencing homelessness, folks on the by name list, to access a little bit of extra funds to be able to bridge the gap between what they can afford and what the market is. So we are beginning to also work at a little bit on both sides, both the stock side and the affordability side, because we need both of those pieces together in order for all of those things to work. So those are some of the things on the horizon. We have lots of things that we're working on that we can't really, they're too early for us to discuss. But, you know, an example I would point you to is the recent purchase of 123 King Street in Colborne. The NCHC purchased that property at the beginning of this year. We had 22 units that were likely the most affordable units in the county that were privately operated. And so we purchased that building to be able to support those tenants in keeping their affordable housing so that we didn't have those folks potentially entering into homelessness. So we've purchased that property. They are now our tenants, and we're working with them to keep their housing, and all is going well. We're making those improvements to the building, and we're looking at how those things fit into the picture. So those are some of the creative things that at the county level we're doing to try to address not losing affordable housing stock, building more affordable housing stock, and creating opportunities to support the most vulnerable in our communities.
Jennifer, what is the most exciting aspect of this partnership for you?
Well, I think just that we've never had a partnership with Northumberland County before. And I think this is always an area that we have tried to extend our services at CMHA. And I think we have struggled to find our place or our niche. And I think this is a really great opportunity to have a physical presence in the community. And I'm just excited about doing this project, seeing the outcomes, and honestly, just having people housed permanently in the county and being able to provide a unique opportunity.
Rebecca, what's got you pumped?
I think to what Jen said, I think that we're seeing a physical result right here. There are five people that within the next month will be having their housing stabilized, moving from homelessness, will receive the supports they need, and will be good neighbors for the community, and will be able to keep moving them on that journey. We're happy to be a partner to it. It's great that from a housing perspective, I think we've also kind of found our niche as to how we can support the homelessness end of the spectrum, the housing spectrum, and those support services. So again, it's been a great partnership in the sense that I think we're all leaning on our strengths, trying to break some silos while also not duplicating services. So it's been really great in the way that the pieces have come together on this one.
Rebecca Carman, Jennifer Bain, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was nice to meet you, Rob.
That was Rebecca Carman, Manager of Housing Services for Northumberland County, and Jennifer Bain, Manager of Supportive Housing for the Canadian Mental Health Association, Haliburton-Kawartha Pine Ridge. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.